Mind Food Radio. Smart thinking with Michael McHugh.
Well, welcome to Mind Food Radio. In an ideal world, all elephants, I guess, would be wild. But unfortunately, that's just not the case. The Golden Triangle Asian Elephant Foundation was set up primarily to help elephants that cannot help themselves. Those that find themselves through abuse or through circumstance unable to provide and maintain an income for themselves and their families. Notorious elephant whisperer John Roberts joins us to explain about the group's important work. Hi, John.
Hi.
I call you the elephant whisperer because I met you some months ago when I went to southern China when the Anantara group was opening up a brand new resort. And we spent an afternoon in search of an elephant, and unfortunately we never found one. But
I did whisper, though.
And we never talked about the elephant in the room. But tell me, when did you first learn that you actually, I don't know, had a talent or an appreciation for elephants?
I think I'm still would class myself more as a conservation than conservation in general. But I met my first elephant in 1999 in Nepal, and properly met, on the lawn of a place called Tiger Tops, right in the middle of Chitwan National Park. And it's been a rocky road, but it's been uphill from there, I guess. So a good few years now.
During that time, though, you must have seen some pretty horrific cases of abuse of elephants. Would that be fair to say?
Yeah, I think that's fair to say, although, again, I see more systematic abuse, I think, more where people who have a response, rather than the mahouts themselves, but people like elephant camp owners or elephant camp managers or elephant operation managers could do more to help their elephants and don't do it. So it's more long-term, real neglect rather than seeing actually one-off instances of abuse.
Yeah. And tell me about how Anantara's got involved with this, because it's quite extraordinary what they have done as an organisation.
Yeah, I mean, it grew quite organically. We opened up, rather as we did in Sichuan Banner, but we opened up a hotel in the north of Thailand in 2003, and they had something like 400 acres around the place with nothing, without anything happening on that time, and decided to open up an elephant camp or something for guests to do whilst they were in the hotel. So it's something that's very common for tourists to do when they come to Thailand is ride an elephant. Mm. And they thought that they would offer something else. And that's where they brought me in to try and do something different and ethical. But it started off as a purely commercial enterprise, if you like, as a hotel department and a unique selling point. And then as time grew on, we recognized that there were problems that we could really help with, namely elephants begging on the streets of Bangkok. And we set up a foundation and started bringing elephants off the streets. And it started off very, very small. And now it's a fairly large foundation where we still look after the elephants that we brought off the streets. But we also have projects with wild elephants and working in anti-poaching and habitat management and all sorts of other things. We've just agreed to continue feeding a wild elephant who'd been shot by a poacher, a very, very old lady who'd been shot by a poacher in the south. And she's hanging out and just needs soft food to do so. We have a whole load of different projects.
And tell me, how difficult has it been for you, probably in those early days, when you sort of had to get the locals alongside you and perhaps change their thinking in and around, you know, looking after animals and elephants?
Funnily enough, I think it may have been easier in the early days because I didn't know what I was doing. So I wasn't thinking quite so much about what was going on and the intended consequences down the road. So we weren't talking about the level of things. So we were happy for trial and error. So we worked with the first guy we bought off the streets with his elephant. He and I sat down together and we chatted without really a common language. And worked out a deal that seemed to make sense for both of us, and that was very easy. And nowadays, and having done that, it was easy enough. Well, it took us 3 months, but it was easy enough. Having done that, we have expanded that to the other elephants, and that's worked quite well. But now we've got a little bit. Maybe we think too much, but I think in this business you have to think quite a lot. And now it's getting more and more difficult because we're trying to influence more and more people rather than just looking after the guys on site, which. Again, if we pay them fairly, we pay them more than fairly, we pay them better than up until a couple of months ago, it was better than anywhere else in Thailand. We look after their elephant 100%. We have vets that live on site with us. There isn't any real work for the elephant to do. There's a lot of fodder. There isn't any. They have the mahouts and the elephants have a very, very nice life living with us. So it's been once we hit upon the formula, it was quite easy.
As a nature, you know, what sort of nature do elephants have? Are they naturally aggressive? What are they really like?
They're a bit like us. Some of them are really aggressive. Some of them are very, very docile. Some of them are very docile until you make them angry or do something to them that makes them very unhappy, and that can turn them aggressive either in the short term or the long term. But it's kind of like dealing with teenagers in that communication's not 100% there, but the characters are all as varied as ours.
And tell me, you know, when we sort of travelled around Shishambana region there and we didn't come across anyone, but a couple of weeks later I read a report that they had come down and they sort of, they weren't as placid perhaps in their nature as everyone had thought. How hard is that from your point of view, where you've kind of got one foot in the tourism camp and another foot in, you know, looking after these elephants? How hard is that?
We make it work. I think we have to be very, very careful in what we do. I mean, and make a very strong definition between captive elephants and those elephants that are already captive, and to make sure that what we do in working with captive elephants is not harming the wild herd and not tempting other people to take elephants out of the wild. Yeah. And as long as we use these elephants as our ambassadors for the wild population and keep both essentially separate. So in Tishwangbana, we're not going to be going up and interfering with the elephants in any way. Even if we do find them, we will watch from a safe distance, and that's quite nice. And we have a project in Hua Hin where we go into Kuriburi National Park, where we're developing sustainable tourism there as well, where you watch from a safe distance. So as long as we keep the two separate, and actually the real hard conservation things that we raise money and manage to do that are not part of the guest experience at all, we keep a separation there, then it's difficult, but we get it done.
Yeah. It must be a very interesting place to work, that a resort and such a good quality resort like Anantara has this department within it. You know, what is the feeling towards that department internally?
Even after 10 years, I mean, they're not quite so sure how to take us. The guys who've been with us all the time have known us from the very beginning, when it was just me, a foreigner who didn't speak any Thai and didn't know anything, and just put this thing together on a very small scale. And they've seen it grow. But yes, people coming in from the hotel world outside, I mean, it's more of the new general managers or new management teams who've had all hotel training and years of hotel experience, rather than the new hires that we find we deliberately take from the local area here and train them on site here. So people who've worked in other hotels can get kind of confused. Yeah. But I mean, they see the benefit from it, of course, because it does, we were set up to bring guests in the door. I mean, that's why they wanted the elephants here in the first place, and the fact that they've allowed us to turn that into something much bigger and much better for elephants in general is, by the way, it's still a very nice thing for guests to be able to do in people's hotels. So it's I think most people see the benefit.
Well, it's interesting though, isn't it? As you know, sort of trends in travel, everyone is looking for that very unique individual experience, and there you have it on your doorstep. And it sounds like, you know, for over 10 years you saw that potential. And now even developing that into China, or the hope to develop that in China, you know, of all places, it's an interesting sort of concept, isn't it?
Oh, it certainly is. And I think with China, again, we did our running around up there. But even, hopefully, even if you don't see an elephant on that trip, we can see elephant dung, we can talk to people who have elephant stories. But even for most people who visit China, and Chinese people coming down to Sichuanbana, they are surprised at the rural nature of the area, about how well the people or how integrated the natural world is into the lives of the villagers we met down there, and quite how in touch with the natural world the people you talk to are, especially how tolerant they are of elephants who come and damage their crops every once in a while and do cause accidents. And a lot of that's government insurance helps, but also it's a fact of life for the guys down there, and they don't seem to resent it. I think in the outside world, particularly in the conservation world, we have this picture of China as a big industrial complex where people don't give a second thought for wildlife, and conservation is on the back burner, almost literally. And to go and travel around Sichuan Banner and to see people living with elephants and almost in harmony with them, growing crops and everything else in harmony with wild elephants is a real eye-opener and changes the story for a lot of people, I think.
Mm. Well, you know, I have to say I was blown away when you fly into Sichuan Banner, it's spectacularly beautiful with those rubber tree covered mountains, and it really does look like some sort of mystical Chinese painting with the low slung clouds. And, you know, at times I felt it did feel more like Thailand or northern Thailand, and particularly with the topography. But yes, you're right. It's a very different China than you think. I think here in the West, we all think everything's like, you know, Beijing or Shanghai, and it's... It was such a different experience. And, of course, the Chinese now are opening that up, the southern provinces, with the money they've invested into, you know, airports, say, at Chengming. And it will be very interesting to see even your group, the Anantara group. You know, I think they've got planned over the next year five new resorts, you know, throughout that area. So, it'll be interesting to see how, you know, I know they're after the Australian tourist dollar, how that will be picked up. I'm sure in time people will go there, and it will be things like the elephant visitations that people will want to go and see.
Oh, certainly. I mean, Yunnan, we're actually closest to Sichuan Banner than they are to pretty much any other Chinese. So where I'm sitting now in the Golden Triangle is actually closer to the Sichuan Banner Hotel than most other large Chinese cities. When I finished with you, when you guys had left, I actually took a taxi down from that hotel to this one in Thailand. So we're only about a 7-hour drive away, and that goes through Lao. It's a fantastic drive.
I bet that was a beautiful drive.
I think there's a real potential for people to fly, if they have a Chinese visa already and are planning to go to Yunnan and see Yunnan, which of course goes from Sichuan Banner, where we were, all the way up to the Tibetan border. It's a massive place, and it's very, very... A lot of different habitats and a lot of different styles and a lot of different ethnic communities living there, some semi-autonomously, others not so much. And there's a real potential, I think, for people who can come here to the Golden Triangle, drive up to Sichuan Banner through Lao, which is a real three countries in one day trip over the mountains there, and then use that as a launching point for some fascinating areas of China.
Also, the roads and motorways, you know, the money that they've invested in the infrastructure is very impressive. It really is. You're not driving along a dirt road. It really is. What the money they've put into that is quite extraordinary.
Oh, it is. And I think that's as much to do with internal tourism and the drive for international trade as well, for the infrastructure. Actually, it was between you and I, it was. I went up there 10 years ago, and it was 10 years ago now, and it was quite nice. It wasn't a dirt road, but it was quite nice to be winding your way through rural villages and other things rather than the super straight highway. But still, the super straight highway makes life a lot more convenient.
Well, John, our elephant man on the ground there in Thailand, it's a pleasure to have you on the show. And
thank you very much for having me.
Yeah, my China story is about to roll out. It's in the big Christmas issue, so that's about to hit. And, of course, there's a large chunk, John, about that very fun afternoon we had driving around the hills of Sichuan in search of those Chinese elephants.
Searching for Chinese, which do exist, as I assured you at the time.
He tells me they did, but I never saw one.
Exactly.
Hey, thanks a lot for being on the show.
Okay, no worries at all. Okay, thanks for the call.
For more details on Anantara Resorts or the Sichuan Banner story, please go to mindfood.com.
Mindfood Radio, smart thinking with Michael McHugh.